Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. I'm sorry, I'm recovering from a cough and a cold. Now today is leap year, so I've got a question for everybody listening. If you were born on this day in the year 2000, are you 20 or are you 5? So that's my question for the day. So my guest today is Barbara Swanson, and Barbara is an author, and she wrote a book, Beyond Foods, The Handbook of Functional Nutrition. Barbara, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm sorry you are recovering from a cold, and hopefully you'll recover soon.
I really hope so also. So tell us a little bit about your book.
I wrote this book as a response to working in the nutritional field for about 20 years. I really saw a theme where people wanted to make a difference in their life, but they really didn't know what was true, what was false, what was real, what was marketing. And I wanted to create a handbook, a really short educational piece that anybody could read, whether, you know, no matter what level of education they had, and they could understand it so that they were empowered to make better choices.
So, a lot of people, are they not too familiar with, you know, health and nutrition?
You know, it's interesting. There's certainly a significant group of Americans who are not at all educated about health and nutrition. Then there's another very large group of Americans who are interested in health and nutrition, but they really don't understand how to tell the difference between what's good marketing and what's truth. So they try all the new, I call it flavors of the month, all the new different things that come up, you know, the South Beach diet, the low-fat diet, the high-fat diet, the keto diet, the vegan diet, and they don't really ever, they're never educated as to why or why not that would help them. So they're kind of at the mercy of the marketing and never really know what might be true or not true. And then there's a very small segment of people who are pretty educated. However, they also often, I've learned, they rely on the promotional pieces put out by companies they work with, so they never necessarily actually know how the body works. So I tried to fill that gap of all those pieces and create something that anybody could use to educate themselves.
Now, when you turn on the TV and you see all these commercials for, you know, this diet or that diet or, you know, diet plans and, you know, does that anger you at all?
It makes me sad. I mean, some things anger me, but typically it's not the television commercials. I get more angry some of the internet things that I know are really just taking advantage of people's desperation to make a change. The TV ads I find sad because all of them basically are saying, you don't need to be responsible. We're going to show you what to do, and it will magically happen as long as you give us the money and let us give you exactly what we tell you. There's never really an education about why or why not those choices actually help people.
So for somebody like you who's written a book, who promotes healthy nutrition, what percentage of the population would you say is very familiar all aspects of healthy living and healthy foods?
You know what? That is a great question, and I can't even begin to answer it. But I would venture to say it's way less than 0.1%. Judging from the thousands and thousands of people I've worked with, and the everybody from medical doctors to intensive care nurses to naturopaths to other nutritionists, I've never met anyone who really had the type of viewpoint that I'm trying to give people, which is really simple enough that anyone can use it. And that's the problem. We live in a world where information has become more and more and more specialized. You know, with billions of websites and hundreds of billions, trillions of bytes of information, it's overwhelming, and no one can know it all. And so people, they do the best they can. And so my goal is to give small enough pieces that they, the best that they can do with what I give them, at least has a grounding in reality.
Now, with the rise in organic foods, organic farming, co-ops, are more and more people cognizant of big agribusiness, and are they avoiding them?
I think so. I think that really is a movement that more and more people are realizing has some validity to it. It's tough because this is something I've been doing for 30 or 40 years. I mean, this is like most of my life. This is where I have come from. Even my father was an organic gardener, so I was raised that way. And the people I work with and live with and I'm around tend to have my same mindset. But I do see more and more people really understanding that, you know, maybe there's something to this organic stuff. Understand, though, they're having to fight what they're being told, because if you do a research on it, you'll find, oh, organic food has no more nutrients than conventional food. And that's a big study, you know, that was done by the government. And so those are keywords that people want to trust, the government, a big study, it's science. But they don't know the right question to ask. The question is not, okay, does organic food have more nutrients? The question is, does organic food have less toxins? So if you don't even know the right question to ask, you can't have the right answer. You see what I'm saying? That's the problem here.
Right. Right. So your book is called Beyond Food, Handbook of Functional Nutrition. So short and simple, what is the Handbook of Functional Nutrition?
It's literally a handbook. It's less than 100 pages. To what I did is I actually went on a 13,000-mile road trip. This was back in 2004, and I went to every single health food store, both chain and independently owned, that I could find in that $13,000 road trip across the U.S., and I probably looked at 40,000 supplements conservatively, just 8 weeks time frame, and what I did is I figured out like the building blocks of those supplements that I knew were real, that they worked, what was the building block in your body? So functional nutrition is about what foods help the function of your body. And that's where I came from. These are the four building blocks of how your body functions with food. And this is why they function that way. So that people can say, oh, if I eat a fruit, this is going to support the function of enter a blank. So that they have an education, not just listen to me because I sound like I know what I'm talking about. That's what I'm trying to avoid.
So when people read your book, do they ever, and they complete your book, do they ever contact you and say, Barbara, you've changed my life?
I have had that. Mostly what I hear is I can't believe how easy this is. I can't believe how logical this is. I just never thought of it. That's really what I hear most of all. And I've had MDs. I've had, you know, medical doctors, like I said, naturopaths, osteopaths, all kinds of doctors. because doctors aren't really specialized most of the time in the functional nutrition aspect. They might be even functional medicine doctors. And functional medicine is a big step up from regular medicine, in my opinion. But that nutritional portion, very, in America, it's not very well taught. In fact, shockingly, in about 75% of the medical programs, you can take nutrition as an elective. And I really want to emphasize how bizarre this is. Your body cannot exist. It cannot exist without 50 micronutrients on a daily basis, 50 of them. But your doctor may not have even had a nutrition course because it was an elective in his as an option. That's insane to me.
Right. Now, I had read a number of years ago the China study, and in the book, The China Study, they said that people who have cancer, if they eat a plant-based diet, it might help cure them or lessen the symptoms of cancer. So when I was going through chemo, when I had lymphoma, and I was talking to the nurse, and I said, you know, matter-of-factly, what should I be eating? And she says, oh, chicken and fish. And I'm thinking, that's not plant-based diet. So, you know, even health practitioners are not well-versed on, you know, really helping their patients, I believe.
They don't know. They just are not educated at all. I mean, most medical schools are funded, the laboratory portion of the medical school where your doctor, your 2B, or your doctor has gotten his a majority of his education, these are funded by drug companies. Like 100% funded by drug companies and hospitals. There is an immense conflict of interest between a drug company, a hospital, and understanding how to actually prevent disease. There is symptom amelioration. There is stopping a disease when you already have it, but those make a lot of money. And preventing the disease in the first place does not make a lot of money. And our medical system is for profit. And I am not saying your doctor is looking to make you sick. I want to make this super clear. I do believe most doctors really want us healthy. The issue is they have not been educated on how that might really happen. So they are educated on how to stop symptoms and maybe stop a disease or an infection. They're not necessarily educated on how to stop disease in the first place.
So what else should people come away with your book? What else should they learn from it?
I think the biggest thing that people learn is that not to trust marketing. You know, just because it's said, and it's said in a very effective way, doesn't make it true. It just makes it really good marketing. And to trust themselves. I really, really, really want people to trust their intuition. If something sounds impossibly easy, it probably isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's certain things that are simple, but that doesn't mean they're easy. And the other thing I really think people take away is, and I hope they do, is the understanding that it's not that you have to change everything. It really is about very minor, small changes that you can make, that you have the power to make. You know, we live in a world, Cynthia, right now, that is very, very stressful. It's very sad and hard for a lot of us. We're finding it very difficult. The division between humanity and our goals looks very, very tough. We have no control over so much. We have 100% control over what we put in our mouth. And I encourage people to take that power back and use it.
But, you know, with all of the, I want to say the word information, that might not be the right word, but people are bombarded with so much stuff, you know, in the course of a day that they might not choose something that would be healthy. So, I mean, you work hard to combat this, but how do people who are not well-versed, what can they do?
Well, read my book, because my book really does give them, I give very concrete tips on what you can do that's simple, because you're right. People are bombarded, they're stressed, it's hard to change a diet. We have a lot of emotional stuff around eating. It's the most intimate relationship of our entire life. Nothing will ever be more intimate than your relationship with food. And accepting that is a huge, important piece of having a better diet. You know, we need to be nurtured by what we eat. We need to enjoy what we eat. Denial and refusing to enjoy something does not, deprivation does not make for a good diet partner. So what people can take away is if the only thing you can do is drink an extra glass of water, do that. If the only thing you can do is instead of getting a hamburger and fries, get the salad bar with meat on it, do that. Every tiny little step matters. That's what I'd like people to take away.
Wow. Do you think that a lot of times the way society is structured, people are inhibited from doing stuff like that?
I think habit is really difficult to break. And if your habit, I mean, let me take what I know has happened to some friends of mine. They're in a job that maybe they're tired of the job. They have some stress in the job. They don't get along with their boss or coworker. They have to commute a little bit, so they leave the home without a really good meal because they slept in because they're tired. So they get to work and they have some kind of caffeinated drink. It might be coffee, it might be a soda pop. Caffeine hurts your adrenal glands, leaves you more exhausted. So now you eat a piece of candy because the sugar makes up for a lack of your adrenal function. Once you have the sugar in your system, you're going to have a sugar crash. So when you get to lunch, you have some emotional stress because it's a job maybe you don't love. You have physical stress because you've stressed your adrenal glands and you've stressed your pancreas with sugar. So what the body will do is say, give me some fat, because fat is super long-lasting. So they go to a fast food place and they eat it. Instead of eating like, okay, I'm going to get a salad with a little bit of dressing and some chicken, they get a double cheeseburger. And now they have a huge amount of fat. And so their body is now really bogged down. Their stomach can't handle it, so it produces extra acid. Now they have an acid stomach. So they pump an antacid. That causes the meat to rot. Now they're really tired because they have rotting meat sitting in their gut because it hasn't been able to digest. So they need more caffeine. That leads them to need more sugar. They go home. They're jittery. They're really grumpy because they haven't really had any micronutrients for their brain. They don't want to cook. So they get something boxed and they eat that. That's a normal day for millions of Americans. At any one point, if you can stop that habit and instead drink water, have a piece of fruit, eat a salad, you begin to change the entire cycle. It doesn't mean you can change your entire life, but you can change your reaction to what's happening to it.
Well, that's a grim scenario. And you say millions live like that every day?
Millions. In America, they did a study. This is only, I think, 2 years old. The average American, out of 365 days a year, with three meals a day, the average American eats an average of 1 month of real foods. Excuse me, not 1 month, 1 week of real foods. I take that back.
One week of real foods.
They eat an average of 21 meals that are nothing but foods, but they don't eat that in a week. That's spread out through an entire year. That's the average American's diet. That's how little real food we eat.
Okay, what's not real food that people consume?
So what's not real food is anything in a box.
Okay.
Anything in a can. And yes, you can eat green beans in a can, but those green beans have been highly processed. They've been heated. They've been heat treated. There's very little nutrients left. There might be a whole food, but they have been processed. So what's easier to say is what's not processed. What's not processed is when you go into the produce aisle and you get fresh produce. If you go into your meat store or in the meat aisle and you get meat that's not lunch meat or processed lunch meat, if you go and you get whole milk, yogurt, and cheese, that's mostly not processed. Outside of those things, everything that you pick up is processed to the point there's very little micronutrition left. So that includes all breads, all pastas, some of the rices, all of the boxed meals, most of the canned meals, a lot of the frozen meals. People live on food that isn't really food anymore, and we don't even know it.
So as you go around and you see farmers markets, now farmers markets are proliferating all over the country, and you visit a farmers market in your neighborhood. Are you happy with what you see?
I'm thrilled with what I see. I happen to live in the Pacific Northwest, and we have acres, and when I go to my local farmers markets, 95% of them are 100% organic. In fact,
okay.
Where I live, it's illegal to plant GMO crops.
Okay.
It's a county law. You're not allowed to plant GMO crops in my county.
So GMO, how long has that been an issue?
It's been a real issue for 10 years.
Okay.
And it started about 20 years ago. It started maybe even more than that, 25, 30 years ago. But it really got common with the last 10 years. And so if you're eating any corn, soybeans, anything, any sugar that's from beets, those three in particular, if it's not organic, it is genetically modified.
And what does GMO foods do to the human body?
There's a lot of disagreement about that. That's one of those areas where the science of the big pharma really is trying to blast out the science of everywhere else. The truth is that genetically modified crops, I actually have a presentation online about it. We'd have to have a separate call on that. It's pretty complex. Suffice it to say, how they modify the genes of these foods looks like something you would see from a science experiment with Frankenstein. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty insane.
So for people who are listening to us right now and they're interested in buying your book, how could they do so?
The website, thefunctionalnutritionhandbook.com is the best place to get that.
And they could purchase it through that.
Yep.
And how could people reach you if they want to learn more about what you do?
So the best way to get a hold of me is off Facebook, just Barbara Swanson on Facebook. And I do have a Beyond Foods Facebook page. You can Twitter, my handle, I believe my Twitter handle is Starheart, Starhart, at Starheart. But Facebook is definitely the best way. You can also get a hold of me through YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, Barbara Swanson channel. And I have like 20 videos on functional nutrition, so quite a bit there.
So in our final minutes, Barbara, why should people be concerned about what they consume?
So we are built for thousands and thousands of years. Our genetic blueprint is utterly 100% dependent on the nutrients we get in our food. 50 micronutrients determine if your DNA is healthy or not, determine if you grow bone or not, determine if your brain works or not, determines how you feel emotionally. if you don't like the quality of your life, look to your diet, because the ability of your diet to change the way your body is phenomenal. We are built for health to have the raw materials.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. So I'm sure you and I will be doing other programs together, because you are certainly a woman who inspires. So in our final minutes, Barbara, give yourself a little plug again and your book and whatever else you'd like to talk about.
Well, thank you. I just want to thank you, Cynthia, for really always looking for people who inspire. And I do want to inspire women in this world, as I said, where we're powerless. I want to inspire you to have some power back. So Beyond Foods, the Handbook of Functional Nutrition, it's a simple book. You can read it in one sitting, and I encourage you to give it a try.
Thank you, Barbara. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, and I hope we talk again soon. So you've been listening to Barbara Swanson, who's written Handbook of Functional Nutrition. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, Women Who Inspire, and follow us on Twitter, Woman Inspire 21. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Barbara, have a great day. Thank you, and thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.